Well, hell, you might as well start with a little Coldplay this morning, as you never know. They tried to get Messi, but Messi said, uh-uh, this gorgeous woman is my friggin' wife, bro. Good try, though. Good try. Don't be a CEO and go to a Coldplay and go to a Coldplay concert. Couple of sellouts there. Anyway, we say good morning to everybody. And All Day Dan Day with us, Jeremy in there, and as well as Dave Hyde. Nice enough to come in with us here from the Sun Sentinel. Woody's still on vacation this week. He getting all that vacation time wiped out there, and get the kids a little time with their mom and dad before coming back here and getting ready for all the football and everything else that's going on. By the way, not just football right now. Dave Hyde, the Marlins. Marlins win another series. Should have won that game yesterday. They're up 2-1. And they got runners on first and second with one out. And something you don't see very often, but not one, but two runners get picked off. So they don't get any runs and ends up hurting them, and 2-2, and then they lose in the bottom of the ninth of the game last time. But like I said, take two of three. The Brewers had been smoking hot, and so they've taken their four straight series. They're 50 and 54 and playing unbelievable. 14-6 before the All-Star break, 6-3 since coming back off the All-Star break.
Six wins more than Atlanta right now. I mean, it's amazing when you look at it. They're doing things. I thought I was out there for the first game, and everybody's talking worst Marlins team in history, you know, and it was set up that way. And yet
they're going around whispering to everybody. I don't want to say any names, like, hey, this is going to be a rough year. But this year, yeah, we feel like it's going to be really good. But this is going to be a rough one. And they play great on the road. Their defense when they need it, the pitching all of a sudden. And by the way, not just starting pitching, the bullpen yesterday had a little rough, but they've got some guys having great years.
Before yesterday, they were like number one in every statistical category in Major League Baseball for the bullpen.
Yeah. Are
we to the point, or jumping the gun, Bendix, does he know what he's doing? I mean, you look at some of these trades he's made, putting the bullpen together.
Well, he definitely made them. You're right, Dave.
Now, you got to hold off to see what the draft yields, but the first swings are pretty optimistic here, right?
Well, they're putting up, and you know what else they're doing? So it's smart, and I like it. So during the games, and yesterday did it again, go to their AAA, AA, and their number one prospect just pitched 7 innings, struck out 15, and you're like, and I thought the same thing. I went, we have to start talking about Bendix here pretty soon, the behind the scenes there.
Are they up and running and pointed in the right direction? Now, it's going to come down to the young draft picks, right, that never came up during the Jeter years. You never saw them. We got the number one, you know, here's a great first round on draft day. We love these guys, and you never see
right.
them. So, I mean, can they get those guys up and running? You look at some of the trades they've made early.
They've gotten a lot out of the Yankee trade. We know they've gotten a lot out of the Oriole trade. And I'm just talking Stowers. I'm not even talking Norby, who's injured right now and still hasn't really. I think they thought he was going to be the top prospect. And here's Stowers flirting around 300 with 22, 23 home runs right now. But anyway, hey, wanted to get that out. And the Yankees, when they come back, they've got three starting tonight, as you just heard, All Day talking about with St. Louis. And then Yankees are in town Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Now, a little bit of that is kind of ruined because I see Judge goes to throw the ball and looked like he almost damn near blew his arm out. So he might be changing positions here for a while.
Trade
when he comes
deadline
back.
Coming up, Joe. And
we got
and
that
the
in
question
a few days.
Is, you know, some of these pitchers, young pitchers, middle-aged pitchers with injury history, do you trade them because they're going well right now?
And if they get the right amount for Sandy Alcantara, he's still gone.
I would think, yeah. If he could get
if they get what they want, hey, people are desperate for starting pitching. If they get – so Sandy's throwing hard. He doesn't have control, looks like, of all his pitches, but he has had some good outings. I don't know if he's going to pitch again before the – I don't know if he's going to get one more in.
He's scheduled to start tomorrow.
He is?
Oh, he is, okay.
Because I heard the same thing Dave did, that on his last one they said this might be his last. They might not let him pitch here before if they're going to trade him. They don't want to mess anything up with a deal on the table, and all of a sudden they're a little worried about it. But anyway, we've got a lot of Dolphin stuff to get to here this morning. Boy, I'll tell you what, it's amazing what 48 hours does to a football team. The secondary, we could just do like 4 hours on the secondary. So they get Jack Jones, cornerback from Las Vegas. Had three interceptions last year, played with New England, if that name sounds familiar. He did play a lot with, was in their rotation of cornerbacks before going to Vegas. Mike Hilton, who's been really good, slot corner for Cincinnati. They get him. Minka Fitzpatrick reworked. Dave, you got an article today in the Sun Sentinel, and I'm with you. It was funny. You and I were talking last night, so what do you think? And you go, yeah, that's kind of what I'm writing about. And I go, yeah, man. A real responsible way of keeping him happy, showing him we want you, but we do need a little show me. The numbers are down a little bit. And once again, not just giving out contracts to give them out like they did earlier.
They threw checkbooks at everybody last summer, and you talk about how they've changed their front office philosophy, and obviously somebody's voice is being listened to that wasn't a year ago. And
it's got to be coming from the top.
It's got to be coming from Steve Ross saying, I'm going to listen to this guy.
And as you mentioned, Brandon Shore must have stepped up.
I think Brandon Shore has his voice is some muscle to it.
So Brandon and his assistant, their job is to say not only, hey, we got to win, but his job is to go, hey, you're right. We do want to win right now, but we can't get stupid with dead money down the road where we're just strapped. We have to be responsible to keep this thing going.
Well, look at the Jalen Ramsey trade as a perfect example of how they're such a mess they're in. Not only giving money to the wrong people, but silly money. Unnecessary money. Guys, Ramsey had multiple years left on his contract, and they redid it to make him.
He must have pouted. He had to go big time, Jalen Ramsey pout. He had to for them to give him that money when they did.
What a disaster that move was getting him. But anyways, it's a new philosophy compared to the last few years. And the restraint in free agency, restraint in contracts. And here was an example, sort of the temptation. Okay, how far down this line are they going to go? Because the easy thing would have been to give Fitzpatrick more money or another year and it's kind of make him happy. And that's sort of philosophy they had. And yet no new money. Now they shuffled some money around.
But that's $2 million.
That's fine. Yeah,
it was a little show me. We want you, but the last couple years been just show us.
Right,
a little empty on the number. Show us leadership. Show us.
There's a nagging question of who Minka is now. He's been his career is phenomenal, obviously, but the last couple years
he made a play, and I know it's only practice. Saturday's practice was really good. I'm telling you, I walked out and I don't know who I saw, and I went, you know, I just sat and closely watched a practice without BSing with everybody, and that was a good practice. Like, there's some really good stuff. Minka Fitzpatrick jumped up in the middle of the field playing deep and did something nobody could do all year. Made a great play over the top of everybody in center field, jumps up and comes down with the ball. I mean, it was
an interception for the secondary.
Yeah, and Jason Marshall had a great play down the sideline. He got up, maybe scores as well. But so the secondary is kind of the story right now. We'll get into part of that. And Jack Jones signed and had the three interceptions. You know, just watching him, and he's got talent now. He comes in out of his break. He's we'll see. I get it. He's given up some touchdowns and stuff. I don't mind, by the way, guys giving up touchdowns if they're aggressive. And because sometimes I think you got to be aggressive and you are going to get beat. And sometimes it's not even get beat. Guy makes great plays over you, like these receivers, super talented. But you got to be aggressive and go after it and not just give up out route after out route. You've got to, like, if you feel it, you got to hit it. And Jack Jones will do that. Mike Hilton in the slot. So now the question is, Cater gets hurt during practice, and I don't know. There's nothing been out on it so far.
I looked up. You got to wait and see. But obviously, it's like Dancing with the Stars competition in the secondary. They're bringing in people. They're hoping there's some talent. They need a couple guys to really impress
up
this camp.
And what they did was they picked up experience of guys that have got starts, that have played. Some of them, in the case, want to get their contracts, get going again, their careers going again. But the Cater-Kohu thing, hopefully we know something today. If it happened on Saturday, I'm guessing they'll have something. I'm sure they knew the next day.
I'm sure they knew.
Right there the doctors come over and they can tell if it's torn right away. Those guys are damn good at Baptist Health and know what they're doing.
They need some good news there.
They do need some good news, but all of a sudden, man, you get up Sunday morning or Saturday night and you go, okay, you got a Fatu and Minka. You got Cater, hopefully, Hilton, Jack Jones, Storm Duck. Storm Duck's having a really nice camp, looked really comfortable out there. And Jason Marshall is going to be on the team and short of something, the guy they drafted. I expect he'll be on, and he looks good out there. Probably got to get a corner that can play special teams, a guy that's really good on special teams, a guy that's his first job is special teams. But I always feel bad, man, because you kind of sell all those young guys, hey, man, I got a lot of jobs open, and then one day, 24-hour period, you bring in two veterans, and you're like, well, there'll be some jobs still open, but.
Well, that was my question, to be honest with you, at the start of camp, at going back to mini camps and all those. If you see them starting to bring in a lot of veteran cornerbacks, that tells you they don't see anybody who can immediately help them. Maybe one of the young guys that progresses and does, but they're not seeing, okay, we got someone who can help us right away. And you throw in the injuries. I mean, they're saying they need bodies right now.
Yeah. So the good news for those guys, the only thing I'm thinking of, and they're looking at numbers. Hell, we all did in those situations, and how many tight ends they gonna keep, how many corners, and now they add these guys. They're going to be on the team and good players, and kind of waiting on Cater. Obviously, if Cater's going to start, if he's okay. But the only thing I will say, man, for all those young guys or guys at Cam to all the rest of them that are on the roster, they're going to get to play a lot in the new game of Ethan Bonner, and all those guys get to play a lot in preseason football. And, man, I go out there, and whatever my coverage is, I am playing friggin' aggressive. I am going, the only way I'm going to get is I got to get takeaways. I got to bat the ball down. I can't have guys completing passes against me. And go out and just have a great camp.
I mean, it can happen. The Chargers had two fifth-round rookies starting by midseason last year.
Rams had a bunch of guys.
I mean, teams do this.
Yes.
But it's not the blueprint.
No.
So,
there's something for a coordinator, no matter what they say, going, man, I sure would like a little bit of experience back there, a guy that has done it, been out there on the island in the games by himself against Mahomes and knows what's going on a little bit. So, anyway, that is kind of story, but yeah. I went out there, folks, and I'm watching. I go, this is really good practice. This is a lot of good stuff. Now, when I say that, somebody's winning on offense or defense, so you could take the other side of it. But I thought for an early practice.
This is where it starts, Joe, the enthusiasm and optimism. I can see you're a little more.
Well,
you saw things that you needed to see, right?
So Tyreek, I don't read into Tyreek stuff. We're going to get into some Tyreek stuff because Tua had some stuff with NFL Network while I was standing there that was really good. But so he's throwing a lot to Jalen Waddle, who he had for all of camp, for all offseason. That was his guy. Tyreek was with the wrist and could run around, but wasn't, catching footballs. And so, he's out there and they're getting the ball to him and things. I'm not reading into it like it's going to change all of a sudden or Tyreek is – I wouldn't read into it too much that way. Tyreek did have a nice catch from Tua at the end of practice there. But It was good. And the quarterbacks, by the way, and some of our friends in the media are trying really, really hard to move the number three quarterback to the number two quarterback in Quinn Ewers over Zach Wilson. And I get Quinn's playing. He had some nice throws. I watched Zach Wilson outside the interception. He made some throws. I go, that's why he was the number two pick in the draft
here.
This year.
He threw some bullets, quick bullets over the middle, very accurate.
Yeah. Got a big arm and was accurate on some corner routes, down the middle, small window, fitting it in there.
And they're paying him $6 million. So he ain't gonna be number
three.
So
why, you know, and I get, you know, those guys are watching everything and they've been to every snap out there. But look at man, Saturday, he looked good. If we're just doing the backup, it's not Tua, but he's got a big arm. Like, you know, you're looking like, okay, he's a number two overall pick. And if the Jets didn't take him, somebody else is going to take him number two. He was going to be the second guy taken, most likely. And you see some of the throws, you go, I get it. He makes some throws down the field, small window, just got to be in a certain spot.
I talked to him the other day, and you could tell, you know, he said he came to the Dolphins because they wanted him. He wanted to be at a team that want. He was third string in Denver. He's obviously had the problems with the Jets, like a lot of quarterbacks do.
Yeah.
He needs his confidence, you could tell. You know, there's a lot of intangibles that don't matter, but confidence matters, especially to a quarterback. And you can tell his being rebuilt.
I don't think Aaron Rodgers, not to pick on Aaron Rodgers today, was the best guy. Because he thought, remember when they asked him, yeah, hey, is Aaron Rodgers calling you a lot? He goes, no, I haven't heard from him. He was away. He was like, hey, man, you're on your own, dude. I don't want to hear about it. All right, we got a lot more. Hey, by the way, don't go away. Tua did. He was with Bucky and Cam Wolf on NFL Network on Saturday, and he was asked some more about Tyreek, as well as leadership, accountability, a lot of different things that we've been talking about a lot. I thought it was really good, really, really, really good stuff for the team and what's different and all those type of things. And he's got all that stuff, and so we have it for you coming up. So don't go away; we'll have that for you. I do want to tell you about Atlantic Men's Clinic ED and low T and everything else, man. So you're getting ready to take that vacation. I know this is a big vacation week coming up. Next week's a big one before the kids are going back to school. And I just want to say, if your kids, you're getting ready and you know those kids are going to be active on that vacation and your energy level has been way down because you have been hit with low T, and I mean low, low T, and your sex drive is gone and now wife's been working out and looking so good and there's just nothing going on in the bedroom. Well, listen, it's none of my business, but I went through it with ED and low T, and I just want to let you know Atlantic Men's Clinic works. 7 locations in South Florida, number one, including the brand new location, has been open just a couple of weeks in Hollywood. But I will tell you, man, you're in for great results. And if it matters to you and you want your energy level back so you can be more active and start losing weight like you did before, your sex drive is gone, Atlantic Men's Clinic has a program that's perfect for you. You go in, you set up that first appointment, you get the T, the PSA test, you meet with their professionals. They set you up on a program that is for you, not for me, not for Dave, but for you. Call them today, 877-455-7300. Not good results, great results quickly. Visit AtlanticMen'sClinic.com. Set up that first appointment. You'll be glad you did. Hey, welcome back here on a Monday morning. Hollywood's got the week off, so all day Dan Day in with us. Jamie's in here, and Dave Hyde from the Sun Sentinel also joining us this morning. So we went down and did a little fishing.
Did. Favorite place in the world. Go back to, I call it Felix's World, because my friend who has a place in Key Largo, and we go into the back country. So about an hour in the back country where it says no motors allowed. You drop a canoe in the water, canoe back in a mile or two, and start fishing.
So there's still great fishing back there.
It's amazing. It's like the air there hasn't been breathed in 3 centuries. I mean, it's an untouched area. And if you ever wonder about what the environment and the Everglades in South Florida, go back there and just be amazed by what kind of world there is.
So,
back there.
But you did both over the weekend. You went the Atlantic Ocean
side,
too.
Yeah, I went
too.
To the Atlantic side, yeah. too.
And so you
did a little
both.
Snorkeling.
Look at you.
Yeah, I had a
you're, you
I had
know,
a
you're starting to enjoy
weekend.
Your life way too much. It's not,
I had a
it's
great
not
weekend.
Fair.
Yeah,
you have hobbies and stuff. Look at you.
you got your radio show.
No, I got to get a hobby.
I got
man.
My columns, but I yeah, in the last few
well,
I've found,
lived this
I've
stuff all the time.
You know, you look at the 5 points. Getting out in nature, Joe. You got to get out. I got to get out. But we had that shark around the canoe again this weekend.
That same bull shark.
Same bull shark. Big bull shark. Thank
and,
God.
And
thank
you
God.
And you went, oh, that big son of a gun. Still, he's
oh,
back.
You're reeling in a fish, and all of a sudden that thing pops up by the canoe.
Hit it.
And took a couple of our fish, yeah. But thank God it's coordinated.
And they don't
it didn't
take
hit the
off?
Canoe. Thank God. Yeah, they take off and they snap the line.
But oh, they stay around, snap. Or you?
Oh,
you
they stay around because they think, oh, this is a good place to eat fish.
Oh man,
they're not. They're very. They're foodies, so they're getting. They
wow.
got a sail catfish. Well,
what did you
and
catch though?
Snook.
Just for the.
I got a nice Goliath grouper back there. You know, it's. Probably about 25 pounds and a big fish to bring in. I was in a mangrove channel, kept it out of the mangroves. Great fishing by me, if I say so. And I'm not a good fisherman, so.
Oh, that's great. And then you said you got some snapper, too.
We got some mangrove there. Snapper. You get some snook.
So good.
We got some trout back there, which in the last couple years have come back for whatever reason. They were gone.
All right,
and,
so they're coming back. So I got to ask you, because a lot of people go down there, you still, now that you've had a chance to eat about everything possible, mangrove snapper or hogfish, what are you thinking? I had hogfish.
I'll take either
I
one.
It was...
I'll take either one, Joe. I mean, you take it. We clean them, and then we take them into a restaurant down there. Wives come out. Typically, we didn't do it this weekend because people had things to do, but this we typically go into a restaurant and
they'll cook it up
they
for
cook
you?
It up and everybody has a big feast. It's a
wow.
great day great
Hell,
day
that's
of
great.
Living the South Florida life,
man. I don't know,
it's all new to me in the last 10
it
years
is?
Yeah, in the last 10
so
years.
You picked it up late. You didn't just
yeah,
come
I,
down
I,
here because you
I didn't know how to boat
forever.
And
yeah.
I didn't know how to fish. I didn't know, and so figuring it all out.
Yeah,
so,
Dave, that man, you got to get...
Yeah, you got to bring you out there in the canoe, Joe. And
I got it.
Saw a nice crocodile out there.
What else did you see out there?
A little spooky. Saw some dolphin out there, which is...
Are
you
serious?
They're those three things...
So you saw a crocodile and you saw a dolphin. What were the dolphin doing back there?
And we're back in the Everglades. And how those... That shark and... You know, I expect a crocodile back there. But dolphin, how they get back there, I'm not...
It's not
that's
that
beyond
deep, right?
me. That No, it's very... You know, I was actually out there with Keith Askins. He's friends of my friend Felix years ago, and his canoe tipped, and this is one of my first times there. And I was like, "How deep?"
Yeah,
and he stood up to about his knee. Keith's about 6'8".
Yeah,
and he was knee deep in water back there. So it tells you how shallow it is in places.
I'll bet you the first thing when he fell out, he looked around to
he
see.
He did. His first thing he said is, "Anything coming?"
Oh yeah. Oh, man, that's funny. All right, so, hey, so Tua, NFL Network, CBS were out over the weekend nationally and doing their Dolphins coverage and stuff, and Tua, once again, was really, really good, talking about a lot of different things. So the follow-up after he made his comments about Tyreek and everybody read into it a little differently, but he kind of followed up with a little bit on Tyreek, so... To explain it a little bit more.
It's not like only one person was going to hear that. Like Cheetah had to have known that, okay, if I'm saying this, you know, I'm going to make sure the team knows. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make sure the quarterback knows. I'm going to make sure the fans know. I'm going to make sure everybody knows. Mm-hmm. The league knows. I'm going to keep everybody on notice when I make this comment. And could it have been in the heat of the moment? Sure, you could say that. But at the end of the day, it came out. And whether you portrayed it to be something different because you're a competitor or not, that's not up for you to decide.
Mm-hmm.
That's up for people in their own minds to create that, whatever they thought that meant for them, right? And so, just like anybody else, like, yeah, of course, Cheetah's a great player, phenomenal player. But in the locker room, that's where everything, the nitty-gritty, the relationships, the hard conversations, like that's where you build each other up. That's why, you know, you kind of work on each other as well. You have those conversations there, you know. And so Reek is going through his own phase of who he wants to become as a man in this league, who he wants to become as a father for his kids. And I said this in the previous interview, you know, it's never too late for anybody to want to change, man. Mm-hmm. Like, regardless of what that looks like for them, that's their stepping stone, that's their journey, and that's what it is. And we're still continuing to build that relationship. But if that happened maybe 3 years ago, you know, I can understand what you're saying. I probably wouldn't have, because in my mind, I'm like, I don't want to be talking bad about somebody or, you know, because I wouldn't want that done to me. But I don't feel it's me talking bad about my teammate. Kind of what you said, I'm just trying to hold him accountable, because that's what we're trying to do with everybody on our team. Mm-hmm. And if this is what we say the standard is, then that's what the standard is. And nobody's exempt from it.
All right. That was, wow, pretty good follow-up stuff. I hear urgency when I hear Tua. I do. And we're going to have more to my point about it. He also goes on, and we'll have it for you if you haven't heard it, about his responsibility with the team and being able to play every game.
That's what the words I expect out of an NFL head coach, of a holding everybody responsible. But you know, my mind flashed to a line from Pat Riley back in 2006. They ended up winning the title, but you remember the first round series, Dwayne Wade and Gary Payton are walking off the court arguing, and just yelling at halftime, yelling at each other, and Pat said, "Well, either, you know, this makes us stronger, we come together, or we're going to fall apart." And that's sort of where you are with that. These relationships. I thought it was awful what Tyreek did last year, quitting.
All bad.
You know, not nothing going
good
on the field.
Nobody can defend it.
I said trade him. You can't. Yeah. Once you saw that, but so they've gone the route of, and the fact too is talking like this tells you. Imagine the conversation they've had behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not like he's coming out and hasn't said
they
this.
See each other. They're throwing to each other. They're together. They are together. And he said, hey, he's really good. But the other thing is, man, Tua hit a point that I just, you know, the games are 3 hours. But it's the hotels. It's the bus. It's all the time you spend at training camp together. It's off season. It's with other wives and going out on dates and with other guys on the team and their wife. There's just a lot for us. It was basketball games all over the state of Florida, and great, great chemistry. I mean, those basketball games and being with those guys. And I played every game. I was a basketball junkie. If they, hey, we got seven. We need you. All right. Yeah, I was playing. And he hit a lot of that stuff and how important all that stuff is.
Well, we're just coming off the Panther season where that's all they talked about. You know, you're talking about, we love each other. They're taking less money to stay here in part because of winning, but also because they like what's the team they've built. And that's the point the Dolphins have to get to. They didn't have last year.
No,
they're trying to get to.
Apparently they didn't.
To get
apparently
to
it was a lot worse than we thought a year ago.
And we thought it was bad, right? At the end of the year, between Ramsey and Tyreek not showing up on time to practice.
Which is pretty obvious, yeah.
And other thing, you know, the season itself, how it played out, we thought it was bad, but they're telling us right now it was worse.
So he's got a bunch of stuff as far as leadership in all the different rooms, meaning all the different positions, has been unbelievable. There's league guys now and all, and hey, man. Not blaming any fan or media member. We have nothing to do with wins or losses at all. Never will. But we got to do it ourselves. And Tua has really...
It's like he's found his voice. I started to find it last year at times, but I didn't always like how it was pointed, where he's calling... You know,
this guy has grown up a lot.
Yeah.
This guy has gotten a lot more confident. By the way, we're going to hear... I got more stuff because I thought it was really good on Tua, and how's this team get better? And maybe the last couple years were supposed to be really good teams and came up short. And so he had some really good stuff on that as well. So we'll have some of that stuff for you this morning as we continue on here on the show. Right now, I want to talk about hurricane season. It's here, And, boy, I hope you've already done it. I hope you're already protecting your home with Loctite Impact Windows, Doors, and Roofing. Impact Windows and Doors really makes things a lot easier. They're so impressive now. And if you need a new roof and you're still buying time, hoping to get through one more hurricane season, listen, old or leaky roof, I just want to let you know, replace your old roof now and pay later with Loctite. Loctite Impact offers the highest quality roofing materials, lifetime warranty, plus thousands of five-star reviews. You can save big on legendary state-of-the-art Impact Windows and Doors. Impact Windows as low as $3 per window per month installed. Don't wait for the next storm. They cover all of South Florida. Just visit LoctiteImpact.com. Again, LoctiteImpact.com, or you can call 954-500-LOCK. Now, they got some professionals in there. They'll answer your phone, take your call, ready to go. Got all the information you need to make a decision. Have them come out and take a look at everything going on at your home and what you want done. They cover all of South Florida. Loctite Impact, let them help you today. Hey, welcome back, and good morning to everybody. Miami Dolphins right back, had yesterday off, back on the field today. And then this weekend, Dave, Saturday and Sunday, they'll have practices. And then be time to get ready for preseason football. How about that?
In an odd, interesting way they're going about it. They're going up to Chicago and then up to Detroit.
First time I've ever seen it. Yeah.
And we'll hear a lot about team bonding.
Oh, team building for sure.
Yeah.
So, for sure, he's gonna stick with that one, and building this up. I'm sure he has not been happy, and I'm guessing he is happy with this group because it's amazing.
He wants to be happy with this group, right? And sort of like Tua wants to have a good relationship. Tyreek,
hey man,
told you who he wants to be, and now they got to be that.
But Mike wanted guys the way Tua is right now.
Yeah,
that's what he's wanted. When he says it's them, like, let it go. You're the quarterback of the friggin' team. Your highest paid guy. You're the leader, and he's acting like it. He is. He's jumped all in on it. He's not the only one. I go through a list of guys. You know, it's funny. You and I were talking the other day. I watched Zach Sealer take that whole young group over on our side with a fan side. And they're going through, and when they're not practicing, he's going through arm stuff and talking to him about stuff. And, he wants, besides coaches, you know, coaching as much as they can, but he wants those lead players at every position. Minka's kind of taken over in the secondary, which you want. I mean, he's got to get – I think he's going to have to talk here pretty soon, though, huh? One day he's going to have to.
You think at some point.
Like, all right, the
I think now's
there.
The time.
Yeah.
We wondered why he wasn't talking. Did he not want to talk about this or that? And it came back to one of the original concepts. He wanted more money. I mean, we should have thought that.
Well, Omar actually wrote about that. Omar's going to join us at 7 o'clock hour. No, that was an Omar thing. It's like, hey, usually when guys come, they're like, I'll come, and I'm all for this, but
we want some more money.
Take care of the money. As you wrote, though, I just like, okay, you're going to be here all year anyway. Guarantee it. Throw a couple
Dolphins
of million
really
in.
Gave him nothing. I mean, they gave him enough to make him happy. They shuffled $2 million from last year, from next year to this year.
But they had to free up money anyway.
I was going to say, but they freed up $11 million. And now it'll be interesting, the Zach Sealer thing.
God,
they have to pay him. But the question is, what do they pay him, I guess, becomes the issue, right? And how much do they pay him? And for how long do they pay him? Because it's interesting. The Dolphins, what they did this offseason in getting the salary cap under control and these contracts under control, they're good no matter how the season – if the season falls apart and they have to start over – they're in good shape. They're in fine shape, and if they win, they're in fine shape too. So while the cap was they were in trouble with the cap, and they still are. Like Tyreek's owed $58 million. He's not going to get that. And the question becomes: what do you do with him at the end of the year?
Right.
So
it's big year. He should be motivated the way his deal is set up. Getting back to Minka, the other part of this thing is Minka's coming off empty numbers for the last 2 years,
yeah,
compared to what he did before that, where he was going 4, 5, 6 picks in a season and all the plays he was making. So this is kind of, and he gets it, sounds like. Drew goes, hey, this is a good start. Drew Rosenhaus now representing Minka Fitzpatrick to go out and get me 3, 4, 5 picks, get a couple of forced fumbles, you know, being on a whole bunch of big plays, and we'll keep you. We'll keep going.
Yeah, the question here is, why did Pittsburgh let him go? He 5-6 Pro Bowls, 5 Pro Bowls in 6 years, tied for the league in interceptions 3 years ago.
No guaranteed money.
No guaranteed money. And that's why the Dolphins had to pay $7 million of Jalen Ramsey's contract. Jalen Ramsey's contract was so bad. And to make this trade work, the Dolphins had to pay $7 million, which effectively paid Jonnu Smith's
They paid $3 million or $7
million? $7 million. Well, they paid $4 million
in, you're saying the bonus.
In the bonus, yeah, and $3
million. Gotcha, yes.
So to make the trade work, then the Dolphins had to throw in Jonnu Smith. But the question becomes, why did Pittsburgh let Minka Fitzpatrick go? And you know, that's sort of the nagging issue here in watching him. We'll have to watch him this year to see who he is still.
I think he's going to be really – I think he plays motivated. I think he's a professional. Anyway, he's going to play. But he makes a play like he did in practice the other day. You make a couple of those. Those are – you're going, okay, that's just a tease of what we didn't get one time last year.
Yeah.
Guy making a play down the middle of the field where, you know, people throw the ball and try to attack you, especially if they see too deep or everybody's in man-to-man coverage and blitzing. And so try to find an open guy. So that was a beautiful, beautiful play for practice. The Tua stuff was really, really good on NFL Network with Bucky and Cam Wolf, who covers the team and does a really good job. So he was asked about, hey, kind of a disappointing last couple of years. You have that one all day, the cup disappointing, and what's going to be different about this year?
Well, I think it starts with me. It starts with me not putting myself in situations where I can't be available for this team. And I think in a way it kind of goes from there. If I can stay healthy for our guys, I believe, and I believe the team believes, that I give us the best chance to potentially, you know, go do what we say we want to do. But outside of that, it's the consistency, I think, for our team that has been, man, these guys are good, but then it's too good to be true. Something's about to happen. Boom. Okay, let's say I go down, or let's say something else happens within the team, and then the structure looks messed up, and it's like, oh, now we can't do this, now we can't do that. And so I think it's just the consistency. And a lot of the guys on the team, we hear the noise, you know, we hear all of that, but it's okay. That's okay for everybody to have their opinion about it. Now, what we going to do about it? That's it. Mm-hmm. What we going to do about it?
There you go. He was on fire. He was animated. You could hear it.
He's found his voice. And it's I'm used to quarterbacks not talking all that much. You see it around the league. Boy, he's has things to say. And it's good because there was a void. Look, Teron Armstead left. Calais Campbell left. It's time for
with me.
Yeah.
That goes right back.
That's what you need to hear.
Hey, and this is the debate I have, and a lot of text, you know, messages or, you know, with me and against me, whatever. I understand. You're going to get that on talk radio. You're going to get that when you write articles in the Sun Sentinel. Hey, man, our best chance to win is, before we get into any other position, is Tua playing 17 games. That's it. If he'd have played 17 games last year, I know you don't want to hear it, we would have won more games.
Yeah, that's just the scary thing is you have to play around something few other quarterbacks really do. They're vulnerable in him just having the ball. And so any hit he takes, holding your breath a little at this franchise.
Well, a lot of different NFL cities, they don't have this topic
right
that we have with our quarterback. They don't.
You know, it was concussion and hip by the end of the game. You know, people forget the hip.
It
seemed
hip.
Like a very serious.
The Houston game was a hip, and I didn't think much of it. He kind of played through it and had no idea. But also, I hate to say this because it's just practice. You feel better about the backup quarterback position than you did last year.
Do you though?
I do. Skyler was terrible.
Right.
Horrible.
I mean, you what?
It's nothing against him. He was terrible. I don't mean.
But
to
why
be.
Didn't they see that? That was the whole mystery to me.
The head scratcher is. It's one thing for us on the outside to go, wow, I thought he'd play better. You guys got to be there every day. That's between head coach and GM to.
I mean, you see the talent in Zach Wilson, as you said. You can see the ball come out and how he throws, and you see why he was a top NFL pick. But again, the distraction, the nagging question is, why didn't Sean Payton? What was missing that Sean Payton said, "I'm gonna play
Stedham,
a career backup over this guy"? And again, this offseason wasn't gonna, you know, he went with Stidham and not. So there's that question, and I'm with you. Zach Wilson seems to be he's a big step up from what they had last year, talent-wise.
Well, you knew when he's second overall pick. He had beaten the Dolphins in a game. I don't know if you remember the game a few years back. He did, and he played pretty well. He made some good throws in the game, so you're like, okay, you know, I get it. But just watching him, if you go out there, watching him throw, he's got a big-time arm, and he can make all the throws. Truly, he can make all the throws. And had a really good practice. He threw the interception down the middle, but he made some really nice throws in really tight windows during practice. Had some good stuff. Tua's coming over, bumping him, high bumping him, and everybody getting all.
Yeah, and
fired
you see
up.
What other Jets quarterbacks have got: Geno Smith, Sam Darnold have resurrected their careers, and that's obviously the path for. Him to take, and the question is, who is he going to be this year?
Yeah. Hey, so we're going to have Omar join us here early, 7 o'clock hour. We'll talk to him. Busy, busy 48 hours for the Miami Dolphins and the secondary. And, Dave, all of a sudden, that whole secondary looks a whole lot different than it did when it was all young guys, and what are we doing, and are they, you know, and, hey, those guys playing, you know, it's a great opportunity for them. And now all of a sudden you look at the names, and if Cater's okay, hopefully we know today about Kader Kohou, who got hurt covering Tyreek on a one-on-one situation. But, boy, if he's there, we'll talk about that position a little bit when we come back. We have a lot more stuff to get to here this morning. And, of course, the Marlins lose yesterday, but, my God, they win another series and had that game last night. They're in great shape. Was it seventh inning all day, Dan Day? That two guys got picked off. Just crazy. Guy gets picked off at second, and Xavier tried to still go to second and got thrown out.
But that's how they're winning. Usually, all those details they did get right.
They've been everything.
Everything.
Big double play ball earlier and got him out of a jam. And
50 wins. 50 win. Who would have? 50 and 54. Who would have thought of that? You're making some good money if you bet the over.
Boy, they got a ways to go for a playoff position. There's still some really good teams.
Playoffs.
But I got to tell you, getting back 500, this group, man, it's amazing. All right, I'll tell you what's great here before we get to 7 o'clock hour. That's your South Florida Chevy dealers. All right, so you still got a little time, and you're still thinking about, hey, I'd like to do something with a family for a few days, take off from work and get us all together and go do something. And you want to be comfortable, boy, you got to check out your South Florida Chevy Dealers SUV family from top to bottom. Whether it's a Tahoe, I can tell you firsthand that 2025 Tahoe got all the space you and your family will ever need. And the Suburban will even give you more if that's the way you want to go. But I do want to tell you about the all-new Equinox, electric Equinox SUV, whichever way you want to go. Man, it's got plenty of room. It's got all your convenient driver tech you need and got a fantastic look that you and your family will love. But bottom line is the space. They got plenty of room for family and friends. And right over to the 2025 Traverse, one of my favorites. They're probably telling me, don't just keep talking about that Traverse. Well, listen, man, I happen to be one of my favorites. It's got a lot of room. It's got that 2.5-liter engine getting better performance for you. All the space, and what a fantastic look. Never look better than the SUV family. Right now, it's your South Florida Chevy dealers. hey, man, you still getting ready for a vacation, staying away from all the airports, and going to just take one here in the state of Florida, a little vacation for a few days. No better way to go than go take a test drive at your South Florida Chevy dealer. Sit down. They got outstanding offers going on right now at 14 dealerships throughout South Florida. Hey, the next couple days, hurry into your South Florida Chevy dealers. Get a great deal for yourself.